Good afternoon, wealthy web writers. Thank you for attending today's live teleconference. Today we're introducing three very special, very fun people, people who I've had the honor to work with in my role as managing editor of Wealthy Web Writer, Jim Wright, Marianne Foscarini, and Christina Gillick. Welcome to each of you. Thank you.
Great to be here.
I should also mention I'm Heather Robson, managing editor of Wealthy Web Writer. And again, thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
So basically, I'm just going to ask you guys some questions about your goals for the year and about web writing in general and how you came to this career. And I'll just kind of call out a name and I'll give you each a shot at each question, but we'll go in kind of a different order each time. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yep.
All right. So Marianne, I'm going to go ahead and lead off with you. And let's just go ahead and start with your origin story, so to speak. How did you decide that you wanted to be living the writer's life?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if I ever actually made a decision to live the writer's life because I've been a writer at heart ever since I can remember from elementary school days. But I always thought of it as a hobby. Until later on in life, and I did become a journalist, but even then I didn't think of it as the writer's life. I always thought of it as the writer's dream, something that was going to happen tomorrow. And but it wasn't until I discovered AWAI that I really worded it the writer's life versus the writer's dream. So that's how I feel about it. Because it wasn't a concept, I never thought of it that way until recently, until the last 2 years.
And how has your outlook on writing changed since you started thinking of it as, in terms of the writer's life?
How's my outlook on it? My outlook actually is that it's not something out there. It's something that I am. Like, even as a journalist, I tried to talk to myself, I'm a writer. And to a point, I did believe that. But it didn't really feel real to me until I started the copywriting. And I think it's just because of the way that my own mind works and how perhaps I'm wired together and how copywriting is a different approach to writing that everything started to click for me. So my outlook is I'm a writer and I am living the writer's life and it just feels right.
Excellent. Jim, your turn. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to the writer's life?
Sure, be glad to. For me, kind of like Marianne, I guess it was something I've always wanted to do. But, you know, it never made it to the front burner kind of thing because, you know, life gets in the way. And it's just recently in the last little bit where I've had, I have two young children at home who are now 5 and 3, which is interesting. I was one of these things where I was, you know, I've been in bands being a musician for most of my life, and I do some teaching part-time at a community college, and I do some work at a radio station, and I was just basically working 6-7 days a week all the time and being away from the family. And, you know, when you're single and younger, that's okay if that's what you want to do. And they're all fantastically fun jobs, so it never felt like work. But I just got to a point where, you know, you just with the young family around, I want to be home more, so I need to trade, you know, jobs that I have to do away from home to work that I can do from home. So it's that whole kind of thing that started me taking it a lot more seriously as well. And I'd always done, you know, like when we were in the band and we need liner notes for the CD, I would always volunteer to write those. And you know, if we had something going on, I would offer to write whatever. So I've always been doing it in spurts. It's just kind of concentrating it all now and making that the focus.
Excellent. And Christina, I'm going to pass over to you. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey so far?
Well, when I was in college, I actually wanted to be a magazine editor, and I didn't even know anything about copywriting. And so right out of college, I got a job at a technical training company, and I was the chat filter. So people would come to the website, and they'd say chat with us, and I would talk to them and find out what they needed, and then I would send them to the right department. And so Joshua Boswell was actually hired by our company to do some consulting, and I was the person who was supposed to take notes the whole time he was there. And so I just sat there for 2 days. like completely in shock about everything he knew and that this was his job and he got to travel around and, you know, talk and make money. And so I said, I want to do what you do. How do you do that? And so he referred me to AWAI, and I bought the six-figure course almost immediately, like as soon as I saw it. And then I spent like, the next year learning. And that was in 2009.
Excellent. I think one of the things that I like is that all three of you have come from very different backgrounds, but you've all been drawn to writing. And I think, I think being drawn to writing is one of those things, just having a love for words that really, it's not required, but it definitely can kind of help turn up that passion when you reach this point. And so now I'm going to bounce back to Jim. And Jim, I'd love to just hear a little bit about what you envision your writer's life looking like a year from now.
Well, that's always an interesting question, and that's one of the things that I'm going to be working on, because if I've never had a good answer to that question. Mitch Hedberg, a comedian, would always answer when people asked him in interviews, what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? And he would answer, celebrating the 5th anniversary of you asking me this question. If I look back 2 years ago, for example, I didn't even know probably 2-3 years ago, I didn't even know what copywriting was either. And I hadn't been introduced to AWAI yet and hadn't done all that. So 2 years ago, there was no way I would have been able to envision that. So that it's kind of a tough question. I mean, obviously, I would want to be where the writing part is a bigger part of my life, obviously, and at some point derive a substantial income from that. So that I could make this my only job instead of the other one or two part-time jobs I have. So that would be it. But part of what I want to do this year with the reality blog is really start to look at questions like that and being able to have good answers for that and, you know, kind of put in not just goals but more of an overall, you know, strategy and plan and long-term view.
Excellent. And Christina? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're thinking about a year from now, how things might look?
Well, I've never really been, I guess, money motivated. I always just wanted to have more freedom. So the reason that I wanted to live the writer's life was so that I could just, you know, sleep in and, you know, vacation when I want to and go outside and walk the dog in the middle of the daytime or take a nap or do anything that I want. So my goal is to double my hourly rate because I want to work half as much. And I'm sorry?
I said I love that goal. Oh. Keep going.
And I actually don't even know what my hourly rate is now because, you know, I build by project and I don't manage my time, like, at all. So basically what I do is I just come in and I work all day or however long I want and take a nap. And then I just turn in the project. So when I turn in a project, I have no idea how many hours I put into it. So I have no idea, you know, how much I made per hour. So my first task for March is going to be to track all my time and figure that out. So
good. That's a good place to start. And yep. Marianne, what are your goals for the year?
Well, I do have very specific goals, and it has nothing to do with money or freedom. It has to do with efficiency and organization. I've always had a problem with focus, so that's my goal this year, to learn how to focus, be consistent, and get organized in all areas of life.
Oh, excellent. I'm really looking forward to reading your reality blog as you go on, because that's an area of continuous struggle with me. So what I want to highlight for our listeners is two things. First, really the writer's life and becoming a freelance web writer, I think it works so much better when you come at it from kind of a lifestyle motivation rather than a financial motivation. If you just kind of look at how you want to live and how you would be happy. So in Jim's case, you know, being able to just have this one, have the writing be the main job and get to spend more time at home. And for Christina to not have to work quite so much. Those are those are ways that you want your life to shape out. It's not so much, you know, I want to make this much money, which it's totally fine and can be very motivating to set a money-based goal, but it's a really good idea to have this kind of overall vision of or feeling for what you want your life to be like, how you want your life to change, because that's really getting more toward the core of your motivation. And the other thing that I want to mention is you all three have very kind of different paths in mind for the next year. And I was actually, Christina, I think I was talking to you about this at the web intensive last week, that so many writers, myself included, tend to borrow other people's goals. We hear people say, I want to make six figures, and we think, oh, I should want to make six figures. I better do that. If it's somebody else's goal, you're never really going to put in the time or the energy to accomplish that. And so it's really good that all three of you have come up with goals that are just, you know, they're uniquely yours. And I encourage everybody on the call to kind of review your goals or set goals if you don't have them. But make sure that they are goals that you own and not goals that, you've kind of borrowed from somebody else because you feel like you should be doing it. My general rule for most things, if I say, oh, I should do that, it's probably not really going to be something that works out. Whereas if I say, oh, I want to do that, that's something I'm going to follow through on. So my next question, I'm going to start off with Christina this time. What kinds of things are you going to be doing every day to help you move forward over the next year?
Okay, well, I'm going to try to stop wasting so much time. I find what I do is I get into my office and I spend the first hour doing I don't know what, checking email, social media. So I'm hoping by tracking my time, I will waste less of it, and then that way I can actually do more of what I want to do. So instead of spending an hour in front of the computer doing nothing, I can get my work done, and then I can get it done sooner and go, you know, do something fun. So one thing I'm going to be doing every single day is tracking my time. And then another thing which I've heard repeatedly, and I've never ever, well, I've done it a few times, but not nearly enough, is writing out sales letters by hand. When I went through the six-figure course, I did it, but then I just kind of stopped. And I've heard so many experts tell me recently, you have to do that. You know, it's like the main thing that I should be doing. So I'm going to write out a sales letter every day, Monday through Friday, by hand, so that I can hopefully get faster at writing, which will increase my hourly rate, and then also just get better at writing. And then I'm also going to work on growing my passive income stream, so that way I can be making money even when I'm not working.
Excellent. And Marianne, how about you? What are the daily strategies that you're going to be using?
Well, hopefully the first thing is that I will remember to look at my task list. I'm pretty good at writing things down, but I usually forget to look at them. So that's my action step, is to remember to do that. And I've done that by recently starting what I call my rituals. I use OneNote, which is very similar to Evernote. OneNote is a Microsoft program. And so I've created a page for morning rituals, which is similar to what Christine is saying there, where she's writing things up by longhand. I started doing that, and I really like it, except that I'm realizing that I want to review many of the AWAI programs, and I'm finding I'm not getting to it. So I'm taking 35 minutes in the morning to just go over and review a program, and it's very strange how sometimes the very thing I happen to choose that day will be something I'm working on later in the day for a customer. So that's been pretty exciting.
Oh,
and the other things that really help me as far as strategies concerned is I'm a member of the Sharp Iron Writers Mastermind Group. That's a name that we gave ourselves, and this is a phenomenal group. That we just started actually since boot camp, but already I'm just benefiting so much from it. Just the accountability, we meet every Monday morning to plan out our week and to be accountable to each other. And also, my good friend Maggie, my copywriting friend, we get together on the phone every morning without fail practically, just for 5 or 10 minutes. What did you do yesterday? What are you going to do today? And that has really helped because I do get off track so easily. That's been a major achievement for me. So I plan to continue that.
Very good. And Jim, how about you? Do you want to share some of your some of the things you're planning on doing daily to keep you moving forward?
Sure. Well, I don't want to be boring, but probably a lot of what Christine and Marianne both said is what I'm going to end up doing too, because my big problem is the same thing, right? The lure of the nap in the middle of the day.
There's nothing wrong with a mid-afternoon nap.
It's pretty strong. But for me, it's the same thing, right? It's and the whole focus of what I'm going to try to do is just the taking action part, right? I mean, it's all well to take courses and want to be a writer, but unless you actually, you know, stick your butt in the chair and put in the time, you know, it's no more than like buying a treadmill is going to make you thin, right? You have to use it. It's the same thing. So for me, it'll be a lot of that same kind of stuff, of just, you know, keeping track of the hours and try to make my time efficient and actually just doing it. Because I know from, you know, like one of the AWI courses I took was Rebecca's webinar series on building your freelance website. And that was one of the first courses I had that I actually, you know, sat down and did all the work and did all the follow-through and all the follow-up, and I got my site up. And, you know, it's amazing when you actually sit down and do something, things happen. You know, when you don't, nothing happens. You know, and I think in the spotlight piece that Mindy did a while back, I said that, you know, that at some point you realize that the only difference between people that are doing stuff and you is that they're doing it and you're not. So the big thing for me is going to move things into the do and done column. That's going to be my main focus going forward.
Very good. And just, I can't help myself. I always have to bring up my favorite points out of what you guys say. I hope that's okay. Both Marianne and Christina, you mentioned hand copying the letters. And we all kind of know that we're supposed to be doing that. But one of the real reasons that you do that is, you know, so much copy, whether you're writing editorial copy or promotional copy, persuasive copy, it's all based on benefits. And you can't just, for so many benefits, you can't just tell your reader what the benefit is. You have to, like, lead them to a realization. And that can be one of the things that really separates a C-list or a B-list copywriter from an A-list copywriter. So what happens when you guys take the time to hand copy those letters is you start to learn the patterns and the wording that the masters use to lead people to their own realizations rather than just handing them the benefit. And when you can do that, that is when your copy like flips a switch and starts taking off. And then the other thing that I wanted to just bring up is what Jim was just talking about, the difference between so many of us and the people that we admire is that they are actually doing stuff. And one of the things that happens with a lot of writers, they get really frustrated because they feel like they are doing stuff. But what they're doing is little tiny things on a whole bunch of different stuff. And so they might be making progress, but they're not actually putting anything in that done column, like Jim said. And so I recommend that everybody on the call, including myself, you know, pick something that is the most important to you and make sure that you do something significant on that one thing before you do anything else during the day, because that's how you'll get that done. And then the great thing that happens is you get yourself into this, like, cycle of success. Moving something into that done column is one of the most addictive feelings that you can have, and you'll start to repeat what you did, and you'll just start to get more and more done, and it's just really cool when you start to move in that direction. And so I know one of the favorite topics, hopefully of you guys, I know of me, of a lot of web writers, is all those different little productivity tips that we all uncover that you guys have shared. Christina, I know you had an article recently about a productivity tip that you're using. And Marianne, I'm going to start with you. Can you let us know one or two of your favorite productivity tips that you use fairly often to kind of bring yourself back on track when you get off track?
Well, I mentioned using the OneNote program.
Yes.
For my morning rituals and that. But my major thing this year is to develop consistency. And I still struggle with personal hang-ups that I have. I always work better with deadlines. I mean, I am the most productive when I have a deadline. But unfortunately, it has to come from somebody else. And that's one of the things I have to change this year, is that setting a deadline for myself becomes one of my core values. And so, because I was really thinking about what is my productivity style? And it really does depend upon other people. And just like you're saying, goals cannot be somebody else's goals. It has to be your own. My productivity has to be my own. And so that's something I'm working on, Heather.
Good. And I think that is, you know, that's a struggle that I certainly can relate to, and I bet so many people on the call can relate to, is this feeling that your deadlines that you set for yourself are somewhat flexible.
Could I add one thing on that?
Yes, please.
It's only been recently that I've come to realize this. I didn't realize that I was depending so much on other people telling me what to do. It's been a real eye-opener to see myself for who I really am in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a big, major accomplishment. And that's why I think I will be able to turn things around this year.
I think what I loved about what you said, and something that just really struck me as a good way to look at it, but I haven't looked at it before, is turning your own deadlines into a core value. I just think that's a beautiful way to look at it, and probably really gets right down to the heart of how you change the behavior when it comes to how you treat your own deadlines. So thank you for
right.
that.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Jim, how about you? What are some of what's your productivity style like, and what are some of your favorite ways to be getting more done?
Well, my productivity style is something I'm going to be working on too. But one thing I found that works really good for me is just going back like old school and just writing things down. Like I find if I have, even if it's on an index card, a list of things I have to do that day or things I need to concentrate on that day. And I think Christine in one of our articles mentioned that too, about taking the pad and just writing what she has to do at the top. I find that when I do that, I tend to get a lot more done. So I'm going to be spending more time doing that so that hopefully I can, using that, get more done. But that's a good thing for me. I mean, in this age, I mean, I have a BlackBerry and a tablet and a computer, and I'm, you know, I love the gizmos. But for me, I found that just going back and, you know, pulling out the fountain pen and putting it on a piece of paper and writing down what I need to do, and those things sit there and stare up at you, and I find I tend to get a lot more things done that way. So I'm probably going to try to do a little more of that, and just generally just trying to be more organized and keeping track of time.
Excellent. I know my husband's been trying to move me to more high-tech to-do list managers, and I still use a pen and paper. It's just my favorite.
Well, the gadgets are good. I use my BlackBerry as my standby memory. I forget stuff and appointments, and then, you know, if I put them in my phone, and then the phone goes, bloop, bloop, time to do something, and I'm going, oh, yeah, I have to do that. But I'm planning on remixing, not forgetting the old-school part of it with just the pen and the paper.
Good, good. And Christina, how about you? I know, like I said, you had that wonderful article not too far back on Wealthy Web Writer about a really simple way to be more focused. But what are so you could talk a little bit about that, or you could tell us some of your other favorite productivity tips.
Well, I was actually going to talk about that, and I've recently changed that to something a little more dramatic. So basically, my article just said that, you know, like Jim mentioned, that I write the one thing I need to focus on at the top of the sheet of paper. And I have a virtual to-do list, and I also use Google Calendar for my deadlines. But whenever I look at my to-do list, I see, you know, five things, and I want to tackle them all at once, and then I get distracted by something else. So to really focus on one at a time, I would write the one thing I should do first on the top of the sheet of paper. Well, I recently started just writing it on my desk with a dry erase marker.
Oh, I like it.
So because I started ignoring the paper, because I would write so many other notes on the paper that I would start getting distracted. Like, you know, I'd write a note and I'd say, oh, I want to look that up and learn more about that. And so I just kept getting distracted. So now I just write it right on my desk. And, you know, really big, and it comes right off. So that's good.
That's so creative. I would not have thought to do that, and I love it.
Well, that's how I stay focused. I write about a lot of tools and stuff that I use, but I'm still working on being a lot more productive. So I'm hoping to learn from Marianne.
I hope so. I hope I learn too.
Well, I'm hoping to learn from everybody. One of the things I'm going to do is read all the posts from Christine and Marianne.
Yeah, ditto.
Well, all three of you have made this this you know big commitment by coming out publicly in the reality blog and saying, you know, these are the things that are important to me to accomplish in the coming year. And so I guess, Jim, I'm going to start with you. Aside from the Wealthy Web Writer members, who else in your life are you making this big announcement to?
Right now, just you guys.
Just us?
But very soon, everybody. I'm just going to completely flip over everything, like on my social media profiles. Instead of saying I work here, I'm just going to put that I'm a freelance copywriter, and I'm just going to basically out myself to the world, friends, family, and anybody else that cares or doesn't care to hear.
Excellent. And Christina, how about you?
So far, just anybody who's read the Wealthy Web Writer post, and then my husband, because he's pretty good at being like, why aren't you working? What are you doing right now? So he kind of keeps me on track. And then also with our, he like edits all my stuff and everything. So I kind of have to get stuff done early if I want him to edit it. So he keeps me accountable.
And Marianne, who else in your life are you sharing? You mentioned a mastermind group. So who else are you sharing your big goals with this year?
My mastermind group for sure, and my husband Dell and a dear friend Mary Lou. But other than that, I found that I've been pretty quiet, mainly because people who are not copywriters or don't understand the writer's life, you tell them something like this, oh, I'm going public, I'm going to, you know, ramp up my creativity or focus or whatever, and they just kind of have this nondescript smile. You know they don't really understand. And so I'm just going right now where I feel most comfortable, which is Wealthy Web Writer. And I have to tell you, one of the reasons why I've been so open and, quote, honest, unquote, is because Wealthy Web Writer needs a password. Not everybody is going to see it, but enough people that will keep me accountable, but also people who understand.
I think that's a key point, talking to the people in your life who understand. Mindy has always made the point that when it comes to accountability and support, the groups that you want to talk to are the people who are going to be affected by your decision and then people who understand the circumstances of what you're doing. So,
right on. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And just, Marianne, continuing on with you, over the next year, what role do you think the support and accountability of the people you listed will play in your success?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial. I know that, you know, without their support and without me being accountable to them, I don't think I'd make it. And it's just because I have learned enough about myself that I know I'd cop out. So I have to set my own deadlines. I have to make my major goal to focus, and just meeting my own deadlines a core value. And I have to be accountable to someone or it won't happen.
And how about you, Jim? What role do you see the support and accountability of friends and family and fellow writers playing in your success over the next year?
Oh, I think, well, like Marianne said, it's crucial, and even more, it's going to be huge. And the reality blog is going to be even huger, right? Because it's the accountability factor alone, I think, is going to be hugely. Make a huge difference in how well I do, I think.
I think that ends up being true for most everybody. Being accountable is it's a big thing for people. And how about you, Christina? Why don't you weigh in on the role of support and accountability in your success?
I'm not sure I have anything additional to add, but I know just like having the other Wealthy Web Writer members watching me and knowing that a lot of them will be at boot camp and the web intensive and, you know, seeing me. It kind of, it's really good motivation because I don't want to say, oh, yeah, I didn't meet my goals and then have everybody look at me. So you know, whenever I feel like taking the day off, I'll think about, oh, my gosh, all those people, they're going to know that I failed or whatever. So then I'll have to do it. So
Good. And I want to just really quick mention to everybody listening in on the call today, you know, once a week we're going to have either Marianne or Jim or Christina posting kind of an update on what's happening and some of the things that they're learning along the way that they think may be useful to other wealthy web writers. But then that leaves a fourth week open during the month. And so we're actually going to have a reality blog, kind of a running column that any of our members can contribute to. So you'll be able to either post in the comments or send things to me to talk about your own goals. And so you can make yourself accountable to, if you want to, in the same way, kind of go public with your big goals. So that's something that's pretty exciting on the site that's coming up that I hope you'll all participate in. And at this point, those are, I think, the top questions that I wanted to ask you guys. But starting with Christina, is there anything that you would like to add, any thoughts or advice that you'd like to share with other Wealthy Web Writer members?
Not that I can think of right
okay.
now.
What about you, Jim?
Well, for me, and this works a little into the whole accountability thing, but I'm hoping that the people who are following the reality blog will not just follow it passively, but take an active role and almost kind of direct it or help, you know, channel which way it goes by their comments and feedback and stuff. So I'm really hoping that this will be really, you know, in the spirit of Web 2.0, become a really interactive thing where people can ask questions and, you know, say, you know, what about this, or how do you do to get over that, or, you know, like some of the questions you asked today about productivity tips and all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping that, I mean, and I plan to learn and take that an active role in it too, and I hope that the people that read and follow the blog will not just see it as a passive thing and a nice thing to read, but an opportunity to participate, either by asking questions and commenting or maybe taking that fourth week slot and stepping up and making themselves accountable as well.
Excellent. That's my hope too. I think it could be huge for a lot of members on the site, so I hope to see it go in that direction. And how about you, Marianne? Do you have any words of advice that you'd like to share with your fellow web writers?
I guess the biggest thing for me is that something that Christina said a minute ago about going to Web Intensive and Boot Camp and people will know who you are and they'll know if you fail or not, I think we're all afraid a little bit of failure. And we're all very sensitive as to what other people are thinking of us. And that has been a major handicap in my life. What do other people think of me? And I always, just like everybody, I want people to love me, you know. And when I think they don't, I start putting ideas in their minds. I start thinking, oh, they're thinking this or they're thinking that. But I have learned over the years that it's best to do what you love, do what you want, and never assume what people are thinking. I think it's very important just to develop your own way of thinking. Again, just like you take your own goals, how you take your own productivity, your own thinking has to be yourself too. You have to get to the point where you don't care what people think. Otherwise, you may stop taking the action you need to take. So just like Nike says, just do it.
That is very good advice. Now, Jackson was telling me that we have the capacity for a Q&A. Is that correct, Jackson?
It is. So mm-hmm. Let me. So if anyone has any questions, you can press *6, and I'll go ahead and unmute you. Give it a second longer. I'm not getting anything in my little queue.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm just going to remind everybody that if you have questions that come up after the event, you can always post those in the comments for the event post on Wealthy Web Writer, and I will make sure to track down the appropriate person and get you an answer. And on that, I would like to thank Marianne and Jim and Christina for joining me today, and I'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us too. So thank you, everyone, and have a great afternoon.
And thank you, Heather.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Have a great
Bye,
one.
Bye, everybody.
Okay.